Hello. Good evening, y'all. Welcome. Come on in. You are in the right place at the right time. I'm going to change my name. Maybe. Hey, Coach Christy. Coach Christy is going to be in the chat today. The amazing Coach Christy, and it's going to take me a minute here, Christy, to, I don't see your hand. There we go. Okay. Gotcha now. I am going to promote you to panelist, Christy. Hey, Jennifer, I saw you chime in there real quick. Okay. Somewhere. Rename. Y'all, this used to take me like 15 minutes to figure out how to change my name because my brain would be so nervous. So I am Coach Judith. No BS, Coach Judith. I am one of the private coaches with the No BS Weight Loss Program. And tonight we are having a special call for the holidays. I'm sure you are well aware that this is the grief call. And I am going to, Nancy, is this my Nancy? I see your hand raised. I want to talk a little bit about the flow. Let me get my order here. Okay. So I've got my name changed. Coach Christy is going to be in the chat. She's going to be dropping some links in there. She's going to be in all caps and she's not yelling at you. It's just going to make it easier for you to find her. I also want to let you know that the live transcript is available. I am enabling that now. So what that means is you're going to see, this is my first time using the live transcript. So what's happening is it's actively populating on my screen as I speak. If you would like to have the live transcript so that you can see what I'm saying. This is not saved. This transcript is maybe if you're hearing impaired and you would like to have the benefit of seeing that the words pop up, I'm finding it very distracting. So allow me a minute here while I adjust myself. Click on live transcript. And if you don't want to see it, don't click on it. If you don't want to see the Q&A or the chat or anything, just leave it alone, put a sticky note over it, something like that. If you have any questions for me, you can put them in the Q&A box. And the flow of this call is, it's going to be a 1-hour call. We're going to be teaching and coaching on grief. And the purpose of this call is to help educate and normalize grief for us all. Grief is a normal and predictable event in all of our lives. And grief is something that everyone has experienced or will experience in their lives. I also want to let you know, I may use my 3D brain model, and I may not. I just want to give that disclaimer if you're triggered by seeing such things. And I also want you to know that when I call members up that I do not know what we're going to be coaching on. So if hearing about death or hearing about grief are things that you do not want to hear about, you just need to know that. Okay. And give you that heads up. So again, my name is Coach Judith and I'm one of the one-on-one coaches here with No BS. Coach Christy is also one of the one-on-one coaches here in No BS, and she is in the chat. So many of you know that last year, it would have been March of 2021, my mother passed away. And through that experience, I'll put a pin in it right there, because I think it's important for you to know that I did have some background in grief. I took a psychology major with a concentration in health, and like this, all of this has always been my jam. And I took one of my most favorite classes that I ever took was called Death and Dying. And in that class, I think it was such a powerful class to take because my experience with death at that time in my life, in my 20s, was my grandparents passing away and my mom just, you know, no one in the family talked about it, about the death. I just remember hearing my mom wailing and making sounds, and that was it. And children didn't go to the services. We were very protected and sequestered. And so taking the class in college was just very eye-opening, and I'm grateful I had it. And the reason I want to mention it is because I remember learning about the 5 stages of grief. And I am sure if you are older than a minute, you have some background or you have heard this term tossed around. And I think just for the sake of the age that we're at, that this should be addressed, and that the stages of grief is not a prescription for grief. It's a description of grief, okay? And what I mean by that is that grief is not linear, and you'll go in and out of stages. And I do think it's helpful to have this vocabulary to talk about grief. I'm gonna move my desk. I think it's helpful to have the vocabulary because as I was processing grief, I found myself I'm bargaining. Like I remember because I was like, where did I miss a step? That's one thought that I had around my mom's death. Like I missed a step. I missed a step. And I lost like 3 weeks of my life Googling. I should have known better. I should have seen that illness. I should have known. And so that was me bargaining, trying to figure out. And I just want to normalize. I think it's good to have the vocabulary. I think it's helpful to understand. I also want you to know that I'm going to talk a lot about brain science. And again, the goal is to help. If this resource was the only thing we had in NoBS, and we get questions in Ask Coaches, our private clients, ourselves personally, we're all experiencing loss in some form. And that if this was the one tool that someone had that would help them, that's what I wanted to take into account for this call. So I wanted to talk a little bit about, so there's my background. I didn't have a particularly religious upbringing. I do have a strong spiritual sense. And so when my mother, after she passed away, during the process, I'm sorry, you know, I haven't talked about this in a good while. So there might be some tears, but I want you to know I'm okay. And the reason I want to talk about it again is to just help normalize what you may be going through. I worked with a coach while my mother was in hospice. It was over a 3-week period. Like she was fine. She had dementia. I had done my work with NoBS where there was a time when I was estranged from my mom. And decided that I wanted to have a relationship with her. And I showed up and I had the relationship I wanted, the one that I could have with her. So when she was in hospice, it was a surprise. And working with a coach, and I really dove into being very present when I was with my mother. And I was really very careful of taking care of myself. And the reason I say this is because I had a beautiful experience when my mother passed. Within 12 hours of my mom's passing, I saw this. It was like over a lake and it was a rope, but you know, it wasn't really a rope because you know how like this visual things, like the ability to verbalize what I saw, it doesn't do it justice, but it was like a rope that was in the water, but not in the water. And it was going out to an island. And it's like someone picked up the rope and plunked it. And when they plunked the rope, I saw all these little bursts of energy come off the rope. And what I saw was that I was just connected to my mother with love. And then all the stories were just bullshit. You know, all the past experiences, all the lifelong things that we, thoughts that we have about our people. And it was really beautiful. And I found a lot of comfort in it. So I just want you to know that you can have a really good grief experience and find a lot of comfort along your journey too. So, what I wasn't prepared for was my nervous system. And after the loss of my mother, and that's again, what I would want someone to know and be prepared for is, and there is brain science to document this, to back it up, support it. If you're someone who has a tendency towards anxiety and depression anyway, who runs dysregulated, you know who you are. You know who you are. You either know, or you're like, yes, that's me, or no, that's not me. That grief is a very dysregulating experience to the body and to the brain. Grief is a psychological and a physiological experience. I'm sorry I'm chewing gum, but I do that when I get nervous because I get dry mouth. So here's a little vocabulary for you. Grief is a noun. It's a natural response to loss. Feelings, it just has feelings and thoughts, and it can be overwhelming. Grieving is a verb. Grief changes over time, and grief does not go away. It becomes familiar to you, and you know you will get through it, and you will have moments of grief the more familiar you become with grief. So I'm going to take a pause here and collect myself. And I want to think about, as we're going into the holiday seasons, how are you thinking and feeling? And I'm going to pull up the chat so that I can see your responses so that I can call them out on the air. So please don't hold back if you have something you want to say when I ask a question. What are some thoughts you are having about a loved one? Okay. Sad that my mom is gone. Absolutely. And that is a completely normal feeling to have, right? Because you miss your mom. You love your mom, and your mom's not here. And normalizing that would look like, you know, your next best thought could be like, yeah, I just love my mom. And here's what I'm going to do this holiday season. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. So the chat bounced here on me. Someone says, I don't want to do holidays this year. Empty that my sister is not here. I miss my mom, and it's been 20 years. My only son passed away 3 months ago, so I'm not looking forward to the holidays. Feeling sad, alone, angry, and left out. My husband passed in August, and I'm not sure how the holidays will be. We were married for over 44 years, right? So we're going to talk a little bit. This might be the perfect time to talk about the experiences we have with someone, the time spent with our person, the more deeply we feel towards someone, the rich experiences that we have with our person, our pet, the more the brain will grieve. The more wiring has to be changed in the brain because there are so many circuits. There are so many parts of the brain and the memory. I do not know all the definitions of the brain. I can tell you that you understand the complexity of the brain and how memories are formed and how when we see a Coca-Cola, it might remind you of your mom, right? I don't drink Coca-Cola. My mom drank Coca-Cola, right? Things like that, just little things that catch us off guard. It's from the wiring. And I was listening to a podcast and he described, when we think about loss, to take a minute and think about something you really want, and even imagine, say, that you were in the desert and you were wanting a glass of water. And you can see it and you're so thirsty and you just want it. That grief is in fact a motivational experience to get what you want, that you want that thing, like you want that glass of water. It's a yearning and a longing, and it's a desire and a craving for that thing. And so, of course, after 44 years of marriage, of course, there's going to be a lot of thoughts and feelings and a lot of normalizing your experience this year, Sue. Thank you for sharing. Dreading the first holiday season without my mom. My uncle will be removed from life support soon, and I feel I need to buffer with food. Yeah. Yeah. And let's just, you know, and the objective, and that's really good awareness to have. And as you're planning for the holidays, and we're going to talk about strategies that you can employ to help you. It's called rational grieving. Y'all remind me of that. Dementia is still my mom. I'm grieving that she's not the same person. Alice, yeah, she's not the same person, but you are. And you still get to have, you can have sadness, and you still get to have the experience that you can decide to have on purpose. That you're the kind of daughter that shows up with love for her mother, who understands. I can remember like trying to have fun with my mom when she had dementia. There would be, there were parts that were fun. There were parts where I could work it in my favor. And I really held on to those, especially as the dementia worsened. I miss my sister who died of COVID on January 21st, and I'm still angry. Feeling great loss and sadness because one of my daughters has chosen not to have a relationship with me. This also cuts me off from my grandbabies, right? So there's a loss when the people are still here and you could still reach out and touch them and they're not here. And I'm so sorry. I just don't care about celebrating Christmas anymore since my dad died. Yeah. My mom died very suddenly and unexpectedly, and I think I'm still in shock. Like all of these comments, I could have said at any one time myself. And I say that not to be, but to normalize this experience that we all have a common thread. My mom passed away in early May, and brother passed away mid-August, and I want the holidays to be over already. There are more comments than I think I can read right here. December 8th will be 7 years. I lost my husband and I want to enjoy the holidays again. Of course you do. Of course you do. And hopefully we can help you find ways to enjoy the holiday season. And let me just challenge you. What are some ways you could enjoy the holiday season? Let's just take a minute with that one. I know thank you, Coach Christy. She typed it in. I was getting ready to read the response. And maybe it's a little too early to be thinking about what are ways you could enjoy. And maybe there's someone in here who would like to share in a little bit. Yeah, listening to my mom's favorite Christmas songs, 100%. I was driving the other day and you know, my mom used to sing this song, the days the teddy bear had their picnic. This is the day the teddy bears had their picnic. I don't know. Does anybody else know this song? But that was like my mom's favorite song. She would just sing it when she was happy. And the other day I was happy and I found myself singing the teddy bear. Teddy bears have their picnic. Listening to voicemails. Yes. Listening to voicemails, honoring memories, putting up the decorations that my son made as a child. Oh, that's beautiful. Spending time with my family and sharing memories together. Yes. So good. And waiting to turn the Christmas music on for sure. I wanted to share a four ends worksheet for the, you know, we have converted and we are using the four ends process. I'm looking for it on my computer. Here it is. All right. I'm going to share my screen for a minute. Y'all just bear with me. I'm going to share screen. And I'm going to share my four ends. So this is the four ends. Christy's going to drop the link if you're interested for the creating a new belief process. Beautiful directions are on here. Notice your thinking. Normalize your thoughts. Neutralize the belief and the thought. And then your next best thought and action. So real quickly, I'm going to scroll through the examples. Now, there's no grief examples on here, just so you know. But this example that I'm going to use is actually, this was an Ask Coaches question. And it came in during my time. And I thought, you know what? This is the perfect one to help for this class, to help demonstrate for someone else who is experiencing grief on how to use the four ends process. So this no BS woman wrote in, and this is what she said. Mom died in December. My mom died in December last year. This, of course, is my writing. And I miss her. And when I think ahead to December or Christmas, or someone mentions Christmas, then I have a thought. December is going to be hard. I'm not sure why I think this. Maybe I should have grieved and been okay after a year? ? She's doubting herself there. She's like, she doesn't know. She doesn't understand. So this is the work she sent in. She said, she noticed that she's thinking December is going to be a hard month. The reason this is normal, it's normal because my awesome mom died last December. And she neutralized the thought by making it factual. December is a month. Mom died in December. I miss her. And I had to go to the next page because my writing is so big. So on the journal page, here we have the next best thought. And again, this is what a no BS woman wrote in and asking and asked coaches for support on her four ends process. And her next best thoughts, I loved mom and she loved me. It's okay to be sad sometimes. It doesn't mean the month will be hard. I can feel my feelings, remember mom, and know she'd want me to be happy. Her next best action, feel my feelings, sad, happy, whatever. Journal, be present, and look for the fun, happy times. Okay. I'm so glad that I was able to catch that in Ask Coaches, because this is genuine work that is coming in. And it sounds so simple, right? When you're not in grief, when you're not experiencing it, but when you're in the moment, like, this is really her thought. And you know that the feelings you have, they're very real. Your experience is very real. So I do want to offer that to you. What you are experiencing is real. So when she talked about journaling, I want to suggest to you, so Christy, I'm gonna pull up the feeling worksheet. And I want to talk about journaling for a minute. And again, this is a strategy for you to use. For this is called rational grieving, where you schedule it, you plan it ahead of time, and scheduling with the purpose of feeling your feelings. And if you are someone who is grieving right now and you feel like it accumulates, and then you kind of have your moments where you cry uncontrollably, or maybe you can't get your feelings out. You feel like your feelings are a little stuck. There is no right or wrong way to do this. This is what I did, and I found it very helpful. So I printed out the Feeling of Feeling worksheet, and I would get a photo of my mom, and I'm a former scrapbooker. And can I get a thumbs up if we got some former scrapbookers in the house tonight? Yes, you still got your paper. Yes, you can put this stuff to use, ladies. I went down to my scrapbook room. I got a pretty piece of paper, grabbed an acid-free pen, and played my mom's song, Brenda G. I see that thumbs up. I played her a song that reminded me of her, and I'll just go ahead and tell you, it's The Rose by Bette Midler. Ooh. And I just sat. I did not have a journal prompt, and I just put words on the paper. And as I was feeling my feelings, I literally, as a coach, had this worksheet out for myself. I journaled, and then I came over and I did a body scan, and I wrote down what I was feeling. And then I went back to journaling, and I made sounds out of my body. I just went all in on feeling my feelings. And it was, in the moment, it sounded crazy. It sounded like, if you would have ever told me, probably wouldn't have thought I would have done that. Yes, tears cleanse the soul. 100% was one of the best experiences I had. And I scheduled it again for the next week. And I pulled out another piece of paper and put my words on paper and played the song. And then it just became more familiar to want to just play the song and grieve that way. But there is a connection when we grieve of allowing the cognitive, the journaling part, and to feel the feelings through interoception, right? Coming in and checking in on your body, that does help us process and progress through grief, right? We don't get over it. There's none of that. We move through this. Grief is something we're going to carry with us. So just wanted to offer that practice to you about feeling a feeling, and having the journaling, and getting your pretty paper, and there's no right or wrong. And I also wanted to point out, as far as a ritual, I have pictures of my mom back here in the background. I thought, how appropriate that I would include her on tonight's call. And I lit a candle in her honor. And when I was grieving and when I was journaling, I was also lighting a candle and thinking of her in the warm light, and just made it my experience for me. It's a very personal experience that I'm sharing with thousands of people now, but that was last year. So we've talked about normalizing grief with the four ends process. We've talked about using the Feeling of Feelings worksheet in conjunction with journaling, with a photo, if it helps you, in conjunction with including music that helps you express, to help evoke memories. And maybe that's not your speed. Maybe it's the music is too much. Maybe the journaling is too much, but maybe it's not. What if you are open and willing to feel maybe the baby steps? There's a thing called titrating, right? Like when Corinne says doable, if you are having a lot of physical sensations, you may not want to be trying to feel your feelings. You may not want to be trying to use the breath work where I'm going to talk about vagal toning. If you think vagal toning, your vagus nerve is the wandering nerve that lives in your body, and it helps regulate your nervous system. And if you've been in no BS more than a minute, you may have heard about the sigh, right? Where you take one breath in and you exhale longer, It has your diaphragm goes up and it forces blood around the heart that makes the heart go faster. When you exhale, the blood leaves the heart and then the blood slows down. And what that does is it promotes the parasympathetic response, and that encourages the heart to slow down, which decreases stress. Okay. And the reason this matters and why you want to start learning your nervous system and how to regulate your nervous system is when you can make your grief experience better. And that is through toning your vagus nerve, through exhaling just longer and getting control of trying the experience of increasing your heart rate and decreasing your heart rate just by normal breathing, but just a little longer on the exhale and feeling your body calm down. Okay. I am going to call some people up to coach, and I do believe that Nancy is someone who I have been in contact with. And Nancy, I am going to call you. I'm going to promote you to panelist. I'm going to ask you to unmute.
Am I on?
Yes, I don't see your beautiful face. Let me see if I can ask you to start video. There you are. Are you my Nancy? Are you my Nancy?
Yeah, my face isn't so beautiful right now, but I'm okay.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Oh, God. But you know what? I did a 24-hour plan today, and I did it.
There you go. How do you feel doing that 24-hour plan?
I feel good, except the only thing I didn't do good is I did, I had a glass of wine on my plan, and I drank two. Other than that, I did everything, include join this call.
I am so proud of you. Yeah, nobody else knows our relationship, Nancy. Will you want to tell them, or can I tell them? You go.
Well, I mean, you can tell them. And I must say that I was extremely thrilled that it was you, the same person who responded to my first whatever I did a few months ago. And yeah. I felt really somebody in my corner. I really felt it, and it felt really good. But yeah, no, you tell them.
Oh, so you know that all of us coaches are also your ask coaches, and we also work on the back end on a, it's called Help Scout. And when people either hit the little question mark on the in the website, you see that little blue question mark. I'm not sure how you found us, Nancy. Oh, you. Through the 30-day, you hadn't been into the website, so we send emails right. to people who have not been active in 30 days.
I want to do the 30-day, and my husband dies, and I'm like, screw it.
There it is, right there. So Nancy had replied. She replied to the 30-day email, and Nancy was forwarded to me. And Nancy and I have had a few emails over the past few weeks touching base. And we touched base this morning, and Nancy told me that she had made a 24-hour plan, and I told her about the call tonight. And that's how, yeah. And so Nancy's husband, yeah, passed away about a month ago, and his service is next week.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you made a plan. So how are you doing?
I think I'm doing okay. But you know, I mean, that's the first day I've done a plan. It's not the first day I've tried before. I mean, I've been following Corinne for 2 years. But you know, my husband's been very sick for a long time, and that's been my numero uno excuse for not being able to do anything for me. But he's gone now, so I don't have that excuse. And I'm really psyched about trying to do something for me, but I can't. My why feels weak to me.
What's your why?
It's just, I want to be healthy. And, you know, I live here in a nursing facility, or at a nursing facility in an independent, lovely little house. But between my mother of 15 years of Alzheimer's and my dad and my husband, I've watched so many people survive over time, but it's not thriving. It's awful. It's just awful. My mother was even worse than my husband. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to live like that. I don't want to overeat. I don't want to be stressing my liver with my freaking wine. And my why is to have fun. I miss dressing fun. I miss, but it's a lifelong journey. I was freaking born 9 pounds, 7 ounces. So
I want to offer this to you. We don't judge the why. We don't judge the why. Yeah.
But I mean, it's not feeling strong enough for me to want to try to. Today it did because I felt so good about knowing you were there supporting me.
No.
That helped a lot.
Good.
Yeah. But it's, you know, it's just this person, whether I'm talking about drinking with take a break, Rachel, or who I heard of from Corinne, or whether I just have this like unwillingness that's really strange. I don't wanna, you know, and I talk to my little inner child and I just don't wanna, but I'm believing that I have the energy now, or that I have the motivation and the energy now to. I love what you said about, you know, your brain is grieving. It's no wonder you don't have time. You don't have enough energy in your brain to, or whatever you said. But I'm feeling more and more. The mere fact that I did a plan today and stuck with it is thrilling to me.
And what if you just lived with the thought, you know, worked with the thought that, you know, I made a plan today and I can make one tomorrow.
That's what I'm thinking right now. I can do that again tomorrow.
I just do it tomorrow. And I would, you know, so I would, if it's okay with you, I'd like to take a teachable moment about sleep. Okay. So when the way the brain actually, the way neuroplasticity works is we get the trigger, right? The grief, your person is gone, the memories. And then it's the part where it really happens is when we sleep. Right. That's where the rewiring happens. Yes. So
my sleep is awful.
Well, we're going to help you with your sleep. And it's normal for people who are grieving to have trouble with sleep. It's normal. And we don't want it to cause more stress. We would like to help layer in some help for yourself. And so the best practices could look like early morning light when you wake up, as early as you can, and when the sun comes up, to try to get 15 minutes outside without sunglasses on, even if it's a cloudy day, to help regulate your circadian rhythm. And it has to do with cortisol spikes, and we all have normal rhythm. So the earlier you can get your sleep rhythm set, the more likely you're going to be setting yourself up. So because cortisol is what jacks us, if we get our cortisol spike at 9 o'clock at night, that's what jacks our sleep at night. So we want to try to get our sleep. We want to be as regular as we can. And this is where I want to come into why the four basics are so foundational. And I want you thinking of them as stabilizers for life, stabilizers for grief, because getting sleep is as important as anything you're going to do. It will help you with your emotional regulation. Having a plan create certainty for yourself, right? The brain likes to be predictable, and putting down that food on paper is super, super helpful. And getting water, it's foundational. We need water so that everything works the way it should. And so
I'm good at that, because I lived in Florida and I was always drinking.
Great. So working on your sleep, prioritizing your sleep. And that doesn't mean just at bedtime, that also means in the morning and just having as good of sleep hygiene as you can will help your brain. It will help you as your brain is normalizing, as your brain is yearning or longing, as your brain is grieving. And this will go, it will go through phases and you will have your own back by having your 24-hour plan and taking care of yourself. It's self-care, stabilizers, foundation. You know, you've got to have a solid foundation, and that's what you're doing. And you get to create that, and you get to create your health 100% where you're at today.
One thing I'm in charge of. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
I'm just going to do it again tomorrow.
There you go. And you can send a message to anybody you want to. Are you on Facebook?
Yes, but I'm not in the group, I don't think.
Well, if you wanted to be, not to overwhelm you, or, but, you know, getting social. So part of the grieving experience is kind of finding.
Yeah, I need badly to find new support, new friends in general. I mean, I've been with him 7/24. Well, I came home to sleep for a year at his side, which I'm very happy about. I don't resent it. People kept telling me, you got to get out of here. You got to get a life. No, this is my life right now. Mm-hmm. And I'm proud of myself. I'm pleased with how it went. I'm happy to have had the time we had in this last year. But it is true now. Well, my little brother, who's a minister and good with words, said, Nancy, you lost Sully a long time ago. You lost Sully about 4 years ago as a partner. You lost your partner. But on October 8th, you lost your purpose.
Mm.
And that rung so true. You know, and purpose is big. It's one of the hierarchical needs, right, of Maslow.
Well, that's interesting that you say that, because so Elizabeth Kubler-Ross in the 5 stages of grief, she worked with a man named David Kessler. If y'all ever wanted to just hear like a fascinating story, Google David Kessler's story. He was involved in one of the first mass shootings in American history. Mm-hmm. And he was visiting it's fascinating that, and he's a grief expert. And he worked with Elizabeth Kubler-Ross in on the stages of grief. They had already been established, but they had been in a connection. And after her death, I think it was like 15 years ago, he came up with the 6th stage of grief, and it's called finding meaning. And that's mm-hmm. finding meaning through the loss. And I just wanted to offer that to you, that he has a book, and the book is by the same name. Finding Meaning by David Kessler.
Yeah, that's good.
It's a great resource to have. I recommend it to all my clients. It's a book that I read when I was grieving as well, Finding Meaning. So there's a challenge to your about purpose, and your purpose is to take care of yourself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I know. And I want to. And I've been up and down 50 pounds enough times to know that I feel better. I enjoy life more. I thrive. I find purpose. But I think it's just an adjustment. And I do believe that no BS is, you know, is the right way. I mean, as many women and people on the call have done a million things, from, you know, a Jenny Craig to an Optifast to a Weight Watchers to a whatever. None of them are wrong, but the one little thing and not beating yourself up part, it is just so powerful. And it's up here, as Corinne says.
It 100% is. Nancy, I want to tell you, Karen Canyon Hiker, one of our No BS women, has posted in the comments. So there's a group of the 55. There's a special Facebook group of the 55 and up group.
Mm-hmm. That's me.
She says, Nancy, the flamingo ladies of the 55 plus group are amazing and would love to have you pop in.
So how do I do that?
Well, you go to the No BS website.
Or No BS website?
Yep. I'm going to show you real quick. I'm going to share my screen and share. And here's what you see. So you're going to do, am I on your phone?
Uh-huh.
So here, over here to the left, you will see the menu on the nobswomen.com website. And you will scroll down to, I passed it right here, Facebook and accountability groups. Click on that. To get into the Facebook community, you click right here.
Yeah.
And it's slowly loading. And you scroll down to join a group. So here they are, Digital Divas, Mindful Drinking, Looking Fabulous, Maintenance. And the women, the 55 plus right here, 55 plus. So you would just click on that, join the group. It's that easy.
It might do it tonight.
Sweet. Well, I know they're going to be looking for you over there and help supporting you. And if there's anything that we can do, remember you have us in Ask Coaches. You know how to get in touch with me via email.
Yeah, it really did make a difference today.
Thank you for being here tonight. And thank you for sharing.
Sure.
Take care of yourself and I'll be seeing you.
Or at least talking to me.
Yes, for sure.
At least emailing me.
Yep.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. All right. Thank you. Oh, it's such a good story. I'm so grateful that she made it. You know, we do so much communicating via text and typing. It's nice to see, a face. So I have Patty and Peggy. So Patty, I am going to promote you to panelist. And Patty, while you're coming up, I thought I saw a Q&A. Oh, Christy has already answered them. Death and dying, Elizabeth. Okay, yes. Grief and grieving. Yep. Coach Christy, Janelle. Oh, yep. I probably should not be reading these that way. Patty, promoting you to panelist. I wonder why that's not working. Oh, she declined. Okay. So, Peggy. I am promoting you to panelists. Your hand is raised. I am clicking you up. And maybe. Patty, I'm going to try it one more time. And maybe you don't want to come up either. Peggy declined. Okay. Well, is there anyone else who would like to come up and have any questions? Want to talk about grief? Want to talk about brain science? Want to talk about the book? Have any questions in the chat for me? Got one in the Q&A. Okay. This is my first time doing that. Could I get a suggestion about handling the guilt of the loss of my mom? Hold on. I've been staring at the computer all morning. Forgive me. I read that one too fast. Could I get suggestions about handling guilt of a loss? My grandmother passed away this August and I feel guilty because I didn't get to say goodbye and I never made the time to see her much, even though she lived 3 blocks away from me. Kim, I just want to tell you that guilt is normal. And guilt is also optional at this point. There is no point to keep rehashing this for yourself, although your brain's going to want to do it, is finding a space for yourself where you saw your grandmother exactly the amount of times you needed to see your grandmother. Nothing has gone wrong here. Your grandmother has passed away. And feeling guilt is not serving you. And it's just because you keep telling yourself that you should have. I was wrong. You know, you're perpetuating the story. And we have it's called Rewriting Your Past. Coach Christy, I'll put you on the spot. Rewriting Your Past over in the helpful worksheets. It could be helpful for you to rewrite that story about your grandmother's passing and then offer to yourself that you can say goodbye to her anytime you want. Just because she's not here on this earth doesn't mean you can't say goodbye to her. Your relationship with your grandmother lives in your thoughts. And it's the thoughts you have about her today are the ones that matter. And you can write and journal and find purpose and connection and relief and messaging from her, for her, from her, for you. That's my thoughts. What if your grief isn't about a person? Normal. Grief is normal for things that you care about. So coming back to like giving labels to things, when I was doing some research, there's 16 types of grief. Okay. So I have no doubt that your type of grief, whatever it is, you're not indicating, is normal. And experiencing loss is loss. And it is a cognitive, it is an emotional, it is a physical response in our bodies, and it's normal. And so celebrating that relationship in a way that feels best to you, journaling about that relationship, experiencing the loss, and normalizing the loss. I hope that answers your question. Anyone else? Peggy still has her hand up. let's see. Jennifer has said in the comments that Jennifer is one of my clients. Finding Meaning is a wonderful book. Coach Judith recommended it to me, and I have shared it with several friends who have recently lost someone. Highly recommend reading it. Regina has raised her hand. Thank you, Regina. We've got about 9 minutes. Hi.
Hi.
Thank you for raising your hand. Oh, look, kind of just a little aside here. You can move the transcript, which is good news because it was on your face and now it's not. I was like, I can't see her.
So I have, I think, an interesting scenario. So I lost my husband unexpectedly in his early 40s, and you know, we were married for 17 years and he passed away. So I've been kind of navigating that grief. And then my stepfather passed away about 2.5 years ago. And I try to work through what my mom, who can be difficult to work with, seems to always compare our grief in that when my stepfather passed away, that's worse than the grief that I experienced because my husband and I weren't married as long as they were married.
Okay.
So it's this, you know, when you're kind of dealing with your own grief, but then somebody really important to you, like my mom in this case, tries to discount it or make it not as, I guess, drastic, you know? So it's just, it's a tricky thing to work through because I have feelings, of course, for my late husband. I have feelings for my mother who's still with us. And it's almost like it's so conflicting to kind of work through both of those grief situations. It's like it's layered on top of each other.
Right. Coach Christy has typed in the chat that someone else was talking about grief comparison with their sister.
Yeah.
And, you know, what I was thinking of, and I hope it's okay that I relate it this way, that when I think about how we coach our members around, it's not helpful to compare your weight loss journey to someone else's weight loss journey. And while your mom probably doesn't have the privilege of, or the thought work, would I be right?
Yeah.
Understanding that and offering some space for yourself and understanding that she's having an experience. And it would be your thought that she's thinking, that she's comparing. I mean, what does she say? Mine was worse than yours. Does she say, flat out say that?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And I know that's not, you know, I know that's not true. It's just hard when it's somebody, you know, it's somebody who's so important to you, your mother. And so it's, it's just hard to be able to take it with a grain of salt, you know, that if it was somebody on the streets that said it, I'd be like, oh yeah, you don't know what you're talking about. You know, it's like, you can't compare those sorts of stories, but it's just an interesting, it's just, it's difficult to process through it because you feel like somebody really important to you isn't validating what your feelings are. So,
and then, and there in and of itself might be another layer of grief, and that you are not, not getting your needs met from, right, from a mom, someone that we hope, or ideally, right, in the someone who teaches us about grief, that we're not getting what our needs met from our person who can do that. Your mom just can't be available for that.
Yeah.
And so allow.
That's a good point. Yeah. Kind of grieving what that, what you would kind of hope that relationship would be like.
Right.
Yeah.
I had a counselor gift me with a thought one time that, you know, it's a great thought, y'all. That's unfortunate.
Mm-hmm.
It's just unfortunate that, that you're this circumstance, that your mom lost her husband and your dad, and that you lost your husband and your mom sounds like it's not available. And she could just be stuck in her story a little.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in this situation is, I mean, I kind of see those as two different, I mean, those are two different feelings. They're both around grief, but one feeling is more specific to my grief as it relates to my husband passing away. And the other is kind of a grief around, so they're kind of, even though they're happening in a layered way, they're kind of two different situations to kind of process through or to work through, I would assume, from a feelings perspective.
Yes. Okay. The brain has stored different circuits, different, and you have different connections with both of those people. And I, this is such a good point. In any grieving that you may do, the rational grieving on purpose, the logical grieving, if you are doing journaling or working, is dedicating, not trying to grieve them both at one time, but dedicating time for the husband here on this day in this way, for dad this way at this time. And creating separate space for separate grief.
Yeah.
Did that answer your question?
Yeah. 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 It was just helpful to kind of talk through it. So I appreciate that.
Yes. 100%. Now, are you getting support? Have you been through some counseling? You sound like you're doing well.
Yeah, no, I'm doing pretty good. And I work a lot with psychology and the corporate America space. And so I understand a lot in how like the brain works and, you know, being able to kind of process through experiences and understand a lot of that side of it. It's, you know, just sometimes it's hard when
it's your stuff.
When it's your stuff. Yeah. It's all great to help other people through it. But when it's your own stuff, it gets kind of, a little hard to see. But thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you for your willingness to come on here and thank you. Take care.
You too.
Thanks. Change role to attendee. Okay, y'all. So I'm going to look at the Q&A. There's so much, and I just see this chat just a flying. Y'all are welcome. I hope this was helpful. And if you have any more questions about grief, you know where to find us in Ask Coaches, in the Facebook group. And if there's anything you want to know about grief, let us know. We're always looking to help and serve y'all the way we can. So just remember that what taking care of your nervous system, if there's one thing, take care of that. Until I went through it, did I ever understand what it's like to be confused and to have all so many feelings, a flood of emotion. About 6 months after, I grieved her death really well, but about 6 months after, I really, was in the right place at the right time to, learn about my nervous system. So that's what got me, studying about this. So thank you very much. You ladies have a great night. Christy, you're the bomb.com, and ladies, thank you.